Okay, I'm a postdoc in the Quantum Science and Technologies group of John Dowling at MIT. Here's a recent group picture. We're a very young group, but we're growing very fast. And for those who know John, you can't see him in this picture, but you can still hear him. I'd like to thank the conference organizers for giving me this opportunity to speak. And I'd like to acknowledge funding from the Hearn Institute, from the US Army Research Office, and from the Disruptive Technologies Office. So my talk is Noon State Mania. And first of all, I'm going to remind you what noon states are. Then I'm going to talk about a very simple scheme we call the Pi Shifter, which we came up with in conjunction with a simple bright source for quantum lithography. I'm then going to talk about a more sophisticated scheme based on linear optics and a simple feed-forward idea, which is completely scalable. And then I'm going to talk about some related noon state work at LSE. So I'm sure you all know what a noon state is. It's a state N0 plus 0N in a Fock state basis. It's a maximally path number entangled state. A whole plethora of applications have been suggested, first of all to optics, to beating the classical diffraction limit, with applications to lithography, microscopy. Another big application is subshot noise interferometry, which has a whole number of applications, and people also think they're useful for spectroscopy. Experiments have been done with noon states with between 3 and 6 bosons, but there's basic problems with generating them, with schemes for generating them efficiently, and for engineering noon states with very many bosons. There are also some conceptual issues about the nature of the entanglements in the noon state. So I moved on to the Pi Shifter. So we were looking for something really simple, a simple bright source for quantum lithography. And part of the motivation comes from this, because we're in a collaboration with Bob Boyd at Rochester, and he has access to now 4 photon absorbers. In looking for a bright source, the obvious things to look at are an OPA and an OPO. I'm going to start off with this very crude approximation, which I think is made to people who is commonly made by people who look at subshot noise interferometry, but the output of an OPO may be approximated as a dual Fock state. That's probably slightly contentious. So this is the very basic quantum interferometry setup. You have a source, an OPO, incident on a 50-50 beam splitter, and you get a pattern on the P photon absorbing substrate. Usually the formula for the absorption rate is given by this expression here that looks just like p-fold coincidence counting. If you compute the deposition rate for just Bosonian light from a laser, you get the p-photon absorption, you get a cos to the 2p rather than a cos squared, so the kind of patterns you get are sharper. If, however, you use entangled noon states, the whole pattern gets compressed by a factor 1 over p, and that's the effect we're interested in. The other thing that differentiates quantum lithography from classical lithography is the scaling of the absorption rate with the intensities of the light. So for classical light, you scale as the intensity to the power p, whereas for noon states, the scaling is linear. And if you have a very weak absorption process, then that may be beneficial. So the basic idea is as follows. So if you get identical single photons and you put them on a beam splitter, you get 2-0 plus 0-2. Now, what happens when you go up to higher photon numbers? Well, you get this sort of distinctive photon statistic for the output of the beam splitter. So you get the noon state component, but you also get what we call the poop. And you know, if you don't do anything about the poop, it kills all the properties of the noon states that you want. So we came up with this idea called a pie shifter. So it's just a spinning wheel of glass, and the segments in each sector have different thicknesses, and if you choose the phase shifts correctly, then it can be arranged so that the noon state's an invariant, but all the poop components get phase shifted as the wheel rotates. The idea is that the wheel rotates fast on the timescale of the lithography process, but slowly, very slowly compared to the optical coherence time, so it can be mechanically driven. And when you go through the math, pretty simple calculation. That's the without the pi shifter, that's the photon statistics. With the pi shifter, you get the noon state component, and you get the poop incoherently mixed. And the point is that the mixed poop component only gives you a constant background. So the deposition rate gives you both the noon state, the sharper noon state pattern, and some constant background, which you could corrects just by having a deeper substrate. So it all sounds good, but when you look at it more carefully, it's not so great. So for four photon absorption, the pi shifter would have two segments, but just from plain algebra, you can re-expand the absorption pattern you get like this, and that's the pattern that you would get if you went back to the original pump, which was which is double the frequency, and you mechanically translated the substrate. So the setup is not really demonstrating quantum lithography as such. Another problem with it is it doesn't scale very well. As you go to higher photon absorbers, the poop gets larger and larger, and the background scales to the largest fraction of the signal. But I think it's still a nice idea. You do create the noon state in the optical fields. It can test our sort of heuristic assumptions about how the multiphoton absorption works. And perhaps the other big plus is that it may have applications to masking lithography. The basic lithography setup that I just described is really only good for drawing patterns of straight lines, and it has been demonstrated that you can do arbitrary one-dimensional patterns, but you can't do, or it's not known how to do arbitrary two-dimensional patterns, and anyhow it's rather complicated, and masking lithography looks more promising. So it's clear quantum mechanically that you have to do something more sophisticated than just incoherently mixing out the bits of the state you don't want if you want to make a noon state. So one resource you could use is a Kerr nonlinearity, and I found it pretty easy to come up with a scheme that comes up with large noon states using a Kerr nonlinearity just by taking, I just picked out the scheme. It was by Christopher Gerry. And the scheme was originally for creating macroscopic cat states given an input coherent state. And you can simply modify this. You add another mode, you assume a source of large number states and a beam splitter, and exactly the same scheme will give you large noon states. But the problem is, as always, that the nonlinearity you would require to make a noon state is very large, and in general larger than we have access to. So we turn to schemes that attempt to make a large noon state from just linear optics and conditional measurement. And in fact, a number of schemes have been proposed. And they are scalable in the sense that you have a prescription for making a very large noon state. But the problem with all these schemes that have been suggested is that they have essentially exponential resource scaling. Success probabilities, or the fidelities, or the complexities of the circuit, or whatever, falls off very badly as you want to make larger and larger noon states. But in analogy to quantum computing and to the KLM scheme, you might have hoped that you can come up with a more scalable scheme. And the way I saw into this problem is to realize that a noon state is essentially the same as what I call a relational Schrodinger cat state. If you take a noon state and you pass it through just a 50-50 bean splitter and a pi over 2 phase shifter, you turn the perfect number correlation to perfect relative phase correlations. So this state is what I call a relational Schrodinger cat state, because if you look at the relative bit, you get sum of coherent states, what you usually call a cat state, but it's a two-mode state, and you're taking a superposition over the absolute phase factor. And relational Schrodinger cat states are very easy to make in principle. If we assume that we have some source of dual Fock states and we extract some proportion of that state, we combine it on the 50-50 bean splitter, and we simply detect L photons here and R photons here, then the back action of this measurement process creates a relational Schrodinger cat state in the population that remains. And this is essentially a very simple interference experiment, and the localization of the relative phase here is essentially the underlying process which explains the interference phenomenon that you can get from it. To explain this more carefully, what you can do is you can move to a basis of coherent states. You imagine that you expand the initial state in terms of the coherent states, then the effect of the measurement process is to introduce this scalar factor here. As the number of detections increases, this scalar factor rapidly becomes sharply peaked. It tends to come peaked at two values, which is why you get a cat, and you have specific expressions for example, the relative phases, which get picked out. Another feature of this process is that the peaks are well described by Gaussians beyond just having one or two detections. Okay, but there's a problem. You can't just use the scheme on its own. Part of the problem is that no particular value for delta naught is preferred for the relative phase is preferred. And the only ones that we know how to convert directly to the noon states are the pi over 2 cats. If we look at this more carefully and we define a fidelity, if we just take if we try to convert an arbitrary relational cat state and convert it to a noon state, and we maximize the fidelity with respect to the superposition phase, what we get is this. We get a cos to the 2n, where n is the number of photons in the state. So that we see that whenever the relative phases are different from the desired value of pi over 2, the scaling is very poor. So this motivates an attempt to turn arbitrary cat states to the cat states that we want. And I fiddled around with this for quite a while, and then I found some surprising result. If you just take a plain beam splitter, if you get the phase shifts and so on correct, you can see that it acts as a two-mode rotation on the state. And essentially, it has two effects on the cat state. One, it changes all the cat components. One, it changes the relative phase. The other thing it changes is the relative intensity. But what happens to the relative phase is very promising, because essentially the relative phase gets stretched towards the desired values of plus or minus pi over 2. In fact, for a 50-50 beam splitter, you always stretch the relative phases to plus or minus pi over 2. Of course, delta naught equals zero is pathological. That's not a cat. That's when the components of the cat overlap are the same. And a special case of the relative phase already being a plus or minus pi over 2 is a fixed point of a transformation. But you also get the change of mode intensities. And at the risk of insulting my audience, but in the hope of catching the people who've fallen asleep, this is the kind of cat that we get from the interference procedure. This is the kind of cat that we want, where the components are completely orthogonal, but this is the cat that we get. It's distorted. But it's relatively easy to come up for a scheme which corrects for the intensity correlation, the intensity mismatch. So we imagine that our relational Schrodinger cat's coming down here. It's been instant on the 50-50 bean splitter. The intensity is now greater here. But if we choose the reflectivity of this beam splitter correctly, we can essentially extract exactly the right amount of intensity into an ancillary mode and detect it out. And in fact, the magic beam splitter, whose reflectivity must depend on your measurement results of L and R photo detections when you made the cat, is not so magic, because a variable beam splitter is just a Mach Zehnder interferometer, and this scheme essentially is feed forward to a phase shifter in a Mach Zehnder interferometer. When you do the math, it turns out you get a couple of surprising results. Basically, this scheme is completely efficient. The photon loss at the correction stage has a binomial distribution, the localization of the phase in the original Nisbirus experiment is so fast that you can always say that if you essentially sacrifice two-thirds of your input state, however large that input state is, the states you will always get will have a fidelity of 99%. I'm just going to very quickly finish by just drawing attention to a couple of other things that are happening in the group. There's a recent paper by Gabriel Durkin which addresses this question of what it means to attain the Heisenberg limit in subshot noise interferometry. He addresses the fact that this formula, which is often used to justify the Heisenberg limit, is very controversial. He introduces a concept called the intrinsic fitness, which is and the distinguishability, which is defined in terms of relative entropy. So this is like using a Shannon information to quantify the information content of a data string without reference to any protocol. So this is one of the plots in this paper. We see the moon states are down here. They have great local distinguishability, i.e. they're very good for tracking very small phase changes, but they're not very good for extracting information on the full range, 0 to 2 pi. And other states, such as dual Fock states or whatever, may be a better compromise between local and global distinguishability. And I'll leave it there, as that's the last published paper we have.